numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland in the house, still to come this hour. Wes Reynolds will join us in studio. Oh, no, by phone, probably. By Skype? Yeah, by Skype. We'll talk about his bets yesterday with the Emiliano Grillo win at the Charles Schwab. See if he won on the Indy 500 and what he's got coming up. Has he bet U.S. Open golf yet? I'm sure he has. Wes has got to have something in pocket by now.
I'm sure he has.
Just a few weeks away, man. That's it. Actually, a couple weeks away, yeah. If I'm not mistaken. This is the shortest distance between two majors is from the PGA to the U.S. Open.
We got Memorial this week.
Yeah.
Canadian Open, U.S. Open.
And the Memorial is a designated tournament, right?
Yep.
So everybody's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it. Man, there's nothing better than betting summer golf on a Sunday.
You know what I like, Gil? Is not betting the elevated tournaments. I've had a lot more success from the elevated tournaments. Yes.
Interesting. Well, I think that would make sense, probably. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's all figuring out what's working and what's not working in this new golf betting landscape.
Yeah. Are you in the end, like, what's your early returns?
I mean, early returns are that the elevated events have not been very good.
No, but I mean, like, so having the live golfers removed, has that, can you notice the impact of that in any way?
Yeah, but it's more the reaction of going to the elevated events, right? Because then you have these events. Colonial's a bit of an exception because that's such a legendary course that you still had some bigger names show up there. But so many of these tournaments that are not the elevated ones, elevated, designated, whatever you want to call it, there's the fields are usually so weak. It's been interesting. I'm just personally kind of missing the old ways of, like, you're forcing golfers to show up at certain events that we've already seen problems with. Like, Rahm, Scheffler, McIlroy, I believe, have all missed their one event they're allowed to miss already. Maybe not Rahm. I can't remember with him. But, like, that's an issue. And now they can't. So, like, every elevated event here on out, they're going to have to play. And you're forcing guys to play in certain tournaments. And then in these other tournaments, nobody shows up to. So I don't know. I would rather have, like, the old way where some guys take off a week, whatever, mm-hmm. but you still got mainly everybody else playing.
We were saying off air, though, it's funny, and this is a little sports talky, but the, you know, in the end, just backing off the betting for a second, in the end, like, the live golfers kind of, I want to say they win, right? They got all their money. They still get to play in the majors. While we're watching the majors and betting on the majors, we don't care. At least most of us don't care that they're on a different tour. And then it's the other weeks, right? It's the other weeks where we just forget about them. We forget that they even exist. So, I mean, that's where the discernible difference is. But what the real eyes are on the majors, we don't. I mean, there's no difference at all. We don't care.
So the thing with that, though, is further down the road, is these world golf rankings points, are they going to get figured out completely for the LIV Tour? I know they have the one tour they're working with that should get the guys some points, but they're going to need more for some of these other guys. Like the Brooks Koepkas, the Dustin Johnsons are going to be there because they've won stuff before. It's the guys like Joaquin Neiman and Abraham Ancer and stuff like that. Are they going to be there? You're going to start seeing them fade away from the majors in the coming years unless they fix something, which I'm thinking they will.
French Open, again, for those who are newish to tennis betting, French Open, the second tennis major of the year, the clay court major, the clay court slam, pardon me, which then gives way to grass season, if you will, which is the shortest of all the surface seasons. Then we're back to the hard courts after that, which is so far anyway, like, about, you know, not quite two of the three first round days in the books. Nobody big has really gotten upset yet at this point, and that is par for the course with clay and Roland Garros. The rate at which the favorites manifest is higher at this tournament than it is at the other majors in the first rounds. And so nary an upset yet. But although I will say Belinda Bencic is a bit of a dogfight here on serve third set against Avanesyan. So we'll monitor that. But right at this point, Noah Lacam Norrie had a scare this morning. He figured it out at the last minute in the fifth set against Benoit Paire. One of the most unlikable guys on tour. But Cam Norrie figured it out, so we'll see if Bencic can as well. She's up 4-3 in the third set. The odds to win the French Open haven't changed discernibly as a result of that. Iga, minus 110, you can still get Iga for. It's interesting that she is more affordable. Now, that still has to do with her draw and how Elena Rybakina ended up on her half. So Swiatek went down to minus 110. By the way, I have, again, just to clarify, I have futures on Swiatek at minus 110 to win the French. I also have Swiatek, Alcaraz, Kiniellas, if you will, a little parlay at 3-1 on both of those to get home. So that's what I'm hoping for in all this. If you missed it again, and many of these prices still are right in the range, so it's not like after the fact to repeat these, but both on the Beating the Book podcast, which I did with Dan Weston and Drew Dinsick, and then we had the French Open special here on Friday, Kelly, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, rather, which Dave Ross hosted. I did a segment on best bets with them about the French Open, and I went through my quarter plays again. And again, these are you know, right around where they are, where they were at that point on the women's side. Nothing in Q1, that's Swiatek's quarter. I did say that the value on in Q2 is on Haddad Maia. Beatriz Haddad Maia is 12-1. Cocchiaretto is 28-1. Mention that then. Q3, and again, although she is in a dogfight right now, Belinda Bencic, 8-1 in Q3. On serve deep in the third, though, right now. And Q4 to me was the most competitive. And I mentioned Elena Ostapenko at 4-1 in Q4 and Sloane Stephens at 35-1. By the way, again, also had Stephens in her first match this morning, a dog price against Petra Kvitova. Or was she against Pliskova? I keep getting that mixed up. Sloane Stephens played Pliskova, pardon me. She won 6-love, 6-4. Really good clay court number. So Ostapenko at 4-1 and Stephens at 35-1 in Q4. Ben Wilson came on here on Friday on a numbers game and said he liked Marketa Vondrousova in Q4 at plus 550. Again, Q4 probably with the most opportunity in terms of playing around. If you believe that Sabalenka, that's ostensibly her quarter, and Caroline Garcia's quarter, if you don't think that they'll get to the promised land. So those prices are generally where they were, with, again, nothing really of note happening in the first couple days.
Ben's girl got shorted a bit, though, right? Vondrousova? Didn't that number get a little shorter?
Did it?
I think so.
I'm just talking about the quarter price. What is she?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I meant the outright price. Yeah. The outright price.
35-1.
Yeah, 35-1. I think she was longer than that.
Oh, she might have been. Yeah, she beat Alicia Parks. No surprise there this morning. 6-4, 6-love. The American Alicia Parks. So this goes on for 2 weeks, right? The first round is 3 days. They spread it out at the French Open. It is the slowest clay surface of them all. It's why the Rafa Nadals and the Iga Swiateks do so well with their powerful forehands. And honestly, it's playing a little quicker here in the first couple days, but it'll settle down, I'm sure, here in the next few days as well. So really the only person in any sort of jeopardy is Bencic right now of any of the bigger names, again, on serve right now in the third set. And those are so the ones that I played, again, Swiatek, Alcaraz for the outrights. And with the quarters, we never had these prices in Las Vegas. So my quarter recommendations, full disclosure, I don't have the bets. These are just for those of you who are in DraftKings jurisdictions who had access to these. We don't, and this gets to a broader conversation, Kelly, for those, I don't want to be too close to the sun here with Nevada, but you and I were talking about this a little bit over the weekend. Because with golf, you're not asking for much in golf. You're not asking for you know, every single prop bet that exists.
Yeah.
In tennis, I'm not asking for every single prop bet exists. But can we get quarters in a slam, for God's sakes? Well, we can't do that here.
You would think it would make sense.
Oh, my God, is it bad.
I mean, because we're talking about those, like, the finishing position markets for golf and quarters for tennis. Like, those are the next, like, okay, it's outrights, and then, like, the next thing down, right? Like, that's what people are going to bet.
That's the next thing down.
I don't feel like we're being greedy. It's just, it's the next thing.
And especially in tennis now, where the Swiatek 30-1s and the Alcaraz 30-1s, we went through the golden age of right now. Like, we were way ahead of it on this show on both counts. So those things aren't going to exist as much now, right? With them taking, especially on clay, like this is not going to be, you're not going to come on the show and be like, oh, this person's going to win. It's just not true. So quarters would obviously be the next thing you go to, and they don't exist. And Kelly, you and I have talked about this before, which is the fact that we've become numb to it so much that we don't even expect it. We're just resigned to our fate in there. That's where we are with that.
Yeah.
So I don't have those, but those would be all my recommendations on the quarters. I hope if you bet them, one of them, if not all, get home on that count.
No, you know, on the flip side, again, like, do we get, like, you know, outright prices in golf I can find that are far different? I have far more options than rest of country where they're a little bit more aligned at every book. Yeah, that's true. That's true here in Vegas. You know, that Michael Block prop on Thursday
nicely
for the first
done.
Round.
Nicely
like,
done by you.
I don't think that was posted rest of the country because I had a million people tweeting at me. Like, where do we find that?
Oh,
that
good.
Was here in Vegas. So, yeah, there's the good and the bad, but it's...
More the bad.
More the bad.
More the bad. More the bad. So do you have so about tonight's game in basketball? You don't have any play on tonight's game?
No, I do. I laid the 7 with the Celtics.
You laid the 7.
Yeah,
oh,
I laid the 7.
Laid
the
it.
7, and then I just bet Caleb Martin over his points again. I bet that the past couple games, it keeps rising up. It's at 15.5 over at plus money. I just bet it again, though, man, because he's become basically their second most consistent scoring option outside of Jimmy Butler.
Is he the if the Heat win, is he the MVP, or does it come down to who performs in Game 7?
Oof, I know JVT put a bet in on him last night. I don't hate it. That number is coming down. I think it's like 25-1 now. I think JVT betted at 40-1. Yes, I think it comes down to tonight's game. I don't think this is decided at all. And I think there's a chance.
I think that's the best bet on the board.
It's the best bet on the board.
Caleb Martin at 25-1 to win the Eastern Conference MVP, or the Larry Joe Bird MVP award, I believe it's called. All right. Should be fun. Wish the two games weren't at the same time, but that's where we are. We'll come back. Wes Reynolds and more. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out, all of today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to read a couple here. Apparently, our own JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, because this ended up in my timeline somehow, Kelly. JVT said, I'm fairly certain I fractured one of my toes. That heals on its own, yeah? And so people are like recommending me as like some sort of expert. I'm just an Achilles expert. I do not know about broken toes. Beauty Man, as both a Celtics fan and a Heat to win the East plus 750 backer, your recap of Game 6 in Miami has me feeling like Ron Burgundy after Baxter was punted. I'm in a glass case of emotion. Yeah, I think a lot of people are in a glass case of emotion. Baxter ate the whole wheel of cheese. He wasn't even mad at it. He was impressed. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not the first time on the show, but the first time on the show where I have been here. Pleasure to have Raheem Palmer from The Ringer on with us. You can follow him on Twitter at I Am Rostradamus. Love that. How you doing, Raheem? Good to see you.
I'm good. Good to see you, too. I've been wanting to meet you for a while. So I was out in Vegas about 6 months last year. I was supposed to meet you, but we could never coordinate the schedule. So it was good to finally be on here.
Oh, you don't live here anymore? You're gone now?
No, I was there for six. I'm from Philadelphia. I was born and raised in Philadelphia. I was out in Vegas for about 6 months last year. I was living in the Cosmopolitan.
Oh, my God.
I was betting every day, and I was supposed to like get an apartment, but I had to come back home handle some things.
Okay. Do you think you'll be back living at the Cosmopolitan again, or was that your moment?
I'll be back living in Vegas. I probably won't be living at the Cosmopolitan.
Okay. That sounds reasonable. All right. Well, let me just ask you this, because I sort of said this out loud earlier, and I'm curious where you stand. I'll start. You know, who feels, we obviously know what happened in Game 6. I mean, there couldn't have been a more dramatic ending to a game of that high stakes in the NBA. Who comes out of that? Because both teams are gonna talk themselves into, well, if this happened, we would have rolled, right? The Celtics can say, hey, we were only 7 of 35 from three. That goes back up to a reasonable, you know, percentage. We're good. Matter of fact, we were up 10. We were up 9 within 3 minutes. We're good. Or the Heat can kind of say, I guess, well, listen, we were up with 3 seconds left, and Bam and Butler combined were 9 of 36. Which is the more credible rationalization?
I think it's actually the second one. And I mean, the reason why I say that is because, look, I mean, when you look at this series, I mean, it's a 3-point variant series. At the end of the day, whoever is going to make the most threes in this series and in this game is going to have the best chance of winning. And, you know, Ben and Butler, they played horrible and they still were up in that game. So to me, the Celtics, I mean, they should have put them away. It was 98-88 with 4 minutes to go, and they scored 6 points for the rest of the game. So the one thing that we've seen from the Celtics throughout these playoffs is that they're feast or famine. Most of their wins have come by 8 or 9, 10 points or more, but they struggle in the clutch. And we saw those clutch time issues like rear its head again in this game. I mean, as it happened last year in game 7. So I think the Heat have the edge here. Nobody's expecting them to win.
No one is expecting them to win. That is for sure. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. I'll ask you an impossible question to answer, which is, you know, in your mind's eye, how do you see this going tonight? Do you see it as and I'll just give some options, that the Celtics go up a considerable amount early and the Heat are pushing the proverbial rock up the hill the entire way and never quite get there? Or is it one of these Game 7 classics where it's nip and tuck the entire way and the drama continues? Is it low scoring? Is the pace fast? How do you feel?
Okay, so, I mean, Game 7s are historically ugly matchups. I played the under 204.5. I actually recommended everybody play the under 204.5. It's down to 203.5. I think you would play at that number as well. I mean, I think you can just blindly play the unders. I mean, since 2005, unders are 37-22. That's 62.7%. And I'm never one of those guys who's just going to blindly play trends. I think you have to look up the individual matchups. But, I mean, when you look at... Look at game 6. There were 63 free throws, and the game still went under 207. We're not going to get 63 free throws again. So I think this is going to be nip and tuck the entire way, but I do think the Celtics could run away with it at some point. But, I mean, if it's nip and tuck the entire way, I think Miami has the edge.
Ooh, I would love to see that. Would absolutely love to see that. So I asked this of our hockey guest earlier, Andy McNeil, where I'm like, hey, the Florida Panthers are essentially just hanging out, waiting for the winner of the Golden Knights and the Stars series. And there's always a question about, you know, rest versus rust. The Nuggets are just absolutely hanging out. Like, it will be it will be almost 2 weeks, right? It'll be 10 days, I believe, from the time that they finish their series to when the NBA Finals is locked in to begin on June 1st. That would have been the case no matter what. It's not a sliding thing like hockey. It was already locked in. Do you think, let's sort of predict that, rest versus rust. Do you think that's too long? Do you think the Nuggets, whether it's the Heat or the Celtics, start out a little more rusty, or does the rest just absolutely help them out?
Well, I actually did a study on this, and it's about teams who play a Game 7. Since 1988, teams who come off a 7-game series are just 33-53. That's straight up 38% in game one of the following series since 1988. And we all know that, you know, teams that, you know, lose game one, they have about a 30% chance of winning. So teams that win game 7 in the following series altogether are just 36-49. That's 42% straight up. Now, we know Boston, I mean, they lost game one of this series, and they probably should have lost this series. We're still tracking, you know, if they're going to win this series or not. But I think, you know, like, I did the study on this just because I feel like when you look at teams who come off of game 7, it's almost like a fighter who's in a war. They're not the same team coming off of that game 7. And you can go back and look at the Golden State Warriors when they played the Oklahoma City Thunder, while the Cleveland Cavaliers, they beat up on the Raptors. They weren't the same team toward the end of that series. So I think the Nuggets are going to have the huge edge in this next series. You're going to look at either a Boston team who played 2 consecutive game 7s, or you're looking at a Miami Heat team who, I mean, they're not playing a lot of guys. Tyler Herro is banged up. Kyle Lowry is not the same guy. So they're short a couple guys. So I think the Nuggets, even with all that rest, they have a huge advantage. And you got to remember, if they're playing the Boston Celtics, they don't have home court advantage. So they're going to have the edge coming in against a tired team. And, you know, they're going to have two home games in game 3 and 4. So I like the Denver Nuggets no matter what.
Yeah. By the way, that was no setup. I had no idea that Raheem had done a study exactly on rest versus rust, so I ran right into that. Let me ask you this, because I do know this about you, that you were, and you'll help me characterize this. I don't want to mischaracterize where you stood on the Embiid versus Jokic thing, because I think you were a big Embiid guy. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that. Has Jokic's playoff run changed your thinking on him at all?
Well, here's the thing. I'm a little biased. Obviously, I am from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, so I wanted to see Embiid get one. But, I mean, Jokic has been the better player. I mean, the bottom line. I mean, Joel Embiid, I mean, we all know that he can clean up and he can protect at the rim. But offensively, I mean, there's just no case. I mean, Joel Embiid is obviously the league's leading scorer, but Jokic is probably one of the best offensive players of all time, given his combination of being able to pass the ball, you know, shoot the three and score. So Jokic probably should have won MVP, but I just think a lot of the voters, they felt sorry for him just because, I mean, Embiid probably would have won the MVP a couple years ago if he didn't get hurt. I think, you know, Harden has really been undervalued this year in terms of what he contributed to that Sixers team, because, you know, I've been saying it all year on the Ringer podcast and the Philly Special podcast that, you know, Harden was the Sixers' most important player, because as good as Joel Embiid is, he's not a good passer out of double teams and whatnot. And that's how, you know, Jokic beats people. So, Jokic is definitely the better player.
We were saying before the break, Caleb Martin to win MVP of this series at 25-1 is probably the best bet that exists on the board right now. In the event that the Heat do win, in the event that no one else, namely a Jimmy Butler, goes off tonight and is clearly, you know, the driving force of the win tonight. You agree with that?
I don't. And the reason why is because I think these voters, they tend to, you know, they want to vote for stars. You look at the, like, honestly, the Western Conference Finals, I felt like Jamal Murray should have won MVP, but Jokic still got it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I just think it's a narrative of war. And then also when it comes to game sevens, how you perform in game seven is everything. You go back to the 2016 finals. I mean, if the Warriors win that, guess who's the final MVP? Draymond Green. So game set, like tonight's game seven is going to mean everything in terms of who wins that award.
Raheem, how often do you do your podcast? Tell us when we can expect both of them.
So right now we have the Ringer Gambling Show. We have East Coast Bias with myself, John Jastrzemski, and Joe House. That's a couple days a week. That's we do that. But also right now we're doing a special podcast called The Hundreds, where I give out an NBA pick every single day. I mean, right now we're doing 100 NBA picks. Right now I'm about 49-37-1. We're up about 8 units. So that's every day. And then we also have the Philly Special Podcast, where I break down the Sixers, Phillies, Eagles, and whatnot.
Nice. Raheem, great to meet you, and definitely let's hang out. Call me, hit me up when you're in town, for sure.
No doubt. I'll be there in August, so I'll definitely be hollering at you.
I look forward to it. Raheem Palmer, everybody, at I Am Rostradamus on the Twitter machine. Wes Reynolds joins us on the other side. That's next. Golf and more. Oh, and Wes is more. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. We do have our first big upset at the French Open. Belinda Bencic loses as a nearly $8 favorite.
Whoa! And just that sound is her falling down the Gil tennis power rankings. Just,
oh, that's right. Yes.
Stumbling downward.
That is exactly
where
right.
Where was she at? Like number?
She was five.
Five.
She
yeah.
was the one where I had her. The biggest difference between my rankings and the actual rankings were me having her at five. She's 13, I think.
Of course, she's the first one that goes down.
She's the first one to get by Elena Avanesyan. And Bencic
goes down.
I've
heard good things about her.
Oh,
you've got a strong backhand, I hear.
I'm sure you have. Kelly's heard good things about lots of people. That one specifically. All right. Wes, y'all. Let's have Wes Reynolds. By the way, shout out to Kevin Kev for coming up with that. How you doing, Wes? Wes Reynolds, everybody. The glue that holds this whole operation together. Co-host of VSiN Tonight, which he does with Matt Humans each and every night here at the network. What's happening, man?
Good morning, Gil. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Did you have Emiliano Grillo yesterday?
I did, as a matter of fact. Was coming in with really good form. Had a couple top 10 finishes in his last couple events. Was eighth, actually, at this event 2 years ago, and then had a third a couple years before. So he had played well here before. Obviously, unfortunately, Emiliano Grillo did Emiliano Grillo things and forces you to hedge out a little bit. with his two main competitors, which yesterday turned out to be Adam Shank and Harry Hall. But nevertheless, Emiliano Grillo, that ball finally stopped in that little aqueduct, if you will, on 18. Right. It just kept going and going and going, and I didn't know where it was going to stop. And if he was thinking maybe it would go against the concrete around the aqueduct, that he could play a lie. But eventually they said he had taken enough time, so he had to go have a drop back in the fairway, back outside the fairway.
Wes, I'm glad you understood what was happening, because I was watching that. I was like, I didn't think Jim Nantz understood. He was like, he kept going back down to the to the course. He's like, could you help us out with this?
I should have grabbed a picture for a graphic of just me and Wes texting back and forth about it yesterday.
While the ball was going,
because it's just me like yelling at Wes. I'm like, what is going on right now? I'm so confused.
That part, well, I'm sorry, Wes. The Kelly said this earlier. Did you not hear at one point in that explanation? Because Kelly was right. I heard the same thing. That Grillo could have, if he wanted to, like hit the ball on the fly as it was going down the river.
That's what I was understanding from the rules official. I think even the CBS golf crew, they didn't understand what the rule was. It's like, okay, because the ball just kept going and going and going, you know. So eventually, I think it came to a stop against a rock, where obviously he's not going to play it. So, you know, he kind of walked back to where the drop zone, where it crossed, and he walked back there, and then he walked back toward the ball. So, yeah, they put him on the clock eventually. So he finally had to make that play. Ends up taking six and having to go to a playoff, and then beating Adam Shank on the second playoff hole.
Yeah, thank you for resetting, because I was about to. Yeah, so it was a two-stroke lead heading into 18. He pulls out the driver, proceeds to go into the lazy river, or as Wes called it, an aqueduct. That was a whole thing. He wins in a second playoff against Adam Shank. And we were saying earlier, he just got every bank shot possible, every ball to kick left for the last few holes of that. It was just amazing. So do you have any now that's very short distance between the PGA last week and the U.S. Open? The U.S. Open is literally in 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks from Thursday. Do you have any bets yet?
Just Victor Hovland so far, and I'll probably have him on the Memorial card this week. He ended up playing pretty solid, actually, on the weekend. Didn't really do much the first couple days. Ends up T6 at 5 under par. So, you know, I felt that when I watched him at the PGA, you know, I felt like, you know, this guy is getting his game together. Now he's got some major scar tissue. Had a good finish at the Open. He had a good finish at the Masters. Had another good finish at the PGA. And he actually, I take that back, finished T16, gave it a little bit back yesterday, but nevertheless, I think played pretty solid golf over the weekend. So Hovland is a guy I'll be having at the Memorial this week and also at the U.S. Open.
Okay. What number did you get him at, by the way? Or have you not bet it yet?
I think it was 25-1.
25-1
is what I got at the U.S. Open. I'd have to check to see what that is now.
Okay,
I love the confidence. Wes already bet him for this week too. I bet him for the U.S. Open, but I haven't done anything with it yet for this week.
Memorial Tournament, Hovland coming in at 20-1. I'm seeing right now at DraftKings, but it's everybody, right? It's a elevated tournament. And so everybody's playing at the Memorial this week. Jack's course, Scheffler, Rahm, Cantlay, McIlroy, Shoffley, Hovland, Morikawa, JT, the usual suspects, if you will. What are you looking for? I know you haven't delved completely into this, but what generally are you looking for in this tournament?
Yeah, I think what you look for with the Memorial, obviously it's a classical design, Jack Nicklaus design at Muirfield Village over there just outside of Columbus, Ohio. So, yeah, you're going to want to look at strokes gain approach. You're going to want to look at the iron play. You're going to want to look a little bit off the tee. This is not exactly what I would call a short course at over 7,500 yards. So you are going to have to be good off the tee. You're going to have to take advantage of the par fives. You're going to have to scramble well around the greens and pick up strokes there, because these greens aren't exactly easy to hit here in regulation. Even though the fairways are generous, you have trouble that looks, you know, missing fairways, because the rough is pretty darn thick. It tends to favor like the power fades off the tee, if you will, players with high ball flights. The greens, I mentioned, seventh smallest on the PGA Tour. So yeah, you're going to have to bring the complete game here. You look at guys that have won here in recent years, Patrick Cantlay, John Rahm, Colin Morikawa, although that was at the Workday event during the COVID year in 2020, Bryson DeChambeau, Matsuyama. So you've had a lot of class players win here.
Did you have Joseph Newgarden to win the Indy 500, sir?
I did not, and I considered him, but the Penske cars, the team Penske, have not really done well here in the last 3 years at Indianapolis and just haven't had the speed. And, you know, his teammates Will Power and Scott McLaughlin ended up not being there in the mix either. But it was a really weird finish to the race. The obvious crash with about 16 to go where they red flagged it because they were worried about the tire that went into the grandstands. Fortunately, it just damaged somebody's Chevrolet Cruze that was parked there outside of turn two and didn't damage a human being. But, you know, they red flagged it then, and then they red flagged it again. And it's kind of becoming, and maybe, and a lot of people asked me about that yesterday, it's maybe the NASCARization of American motor racing. Mm. Because if you watch any of the NASCAR, and we're going to have it today later for the Coca-Cola 600, they do this thing called the green, white checkered, where if there's an accident, they'll red flag it and they'll say, okay, we're going to make an attempt to try to finish this under green flag racing. So that means that the race is going to run longer than the listed mileage, because one of the things I've always said, because it's precedent, it's the Indianapolis 500. It's not the Indianapolis 505. It's not the Indianapolis 502.5, but they wanted a red flag because they want to show, because there is an entertainment aspect of the event. So I understood the second place finisher, Marcus Ericsson, who did win the Indy 500 last year. I understood why he was a little bit upset, because he's like, hey, we were ahead when the yellow came out. We should have won the race, but he ends up finishing second to Joseph Newgarden.
Are you super into F1 as well? Obviously, Las Vegas. I don't know if you've been anywhere near the Strip, but for those of us who live on the Strip, the last couple weeks have been just the worst experience. Now, of course, I'm not going to get any sympathy, but like, you chose to live on the Strip, buddy. But like with the paving schedule for the F1 race that's happening in November, are you pumped for that? Will you be betting that profusely? Do you have thoughts on that already?
Yeah, look, I think it's a cool event, obviously, to have Formula One in Las Vegas. It's going to look cool. It's going to be on a Saturday night, and to see these cars racing along the Strip with all the lights, it's certainly going to be a stunning visual. But, you know, from the Formula One race, I want to flip back to yesterday, because that kind of starts the motorsports Christmas, if you will, the Monaco Grand Prix. There are a lot of people I was seeing on the Twitter machine, because people are kind of finding Formula One through that Netflix series that has run for several years. Mm-hmm. And the Monaco Grand Prix, putting aside the fact that it's picturesque and it's beautiful and the scenery of Monaco, it's not very good racing. And you don't have a lot of areas to pass necessarily on that course that they have. So qualifying essentially is the show for a lot of Formula One races, but especially Monaco. Hopefully it'll be a little bit different for Vegas later this year.
Party on my roof. You're invited, Wes, for the F1 race coming up in November.
Thank you, because tickets are a fortune, apparently, and so are hotel rooms.
Oh, I'm charging everybody. No, I'm kidding. All right, Wes is more on the other side. Basketball, hockey, baseball, all kinds of questions. Golf for Wes. He answers them all. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin.
Hey.
What are you smiling about?
Yo, how good is Kevin Trask, our audio guy?
Oh, Kevy Kev?
Yeah, Kevin
Kev. Oh, my God, he's the best.
You're like,
he literally, whatever they're paying him, it's not enough.
Oh, it's not enough. Yeah. You know what just happened? I just got a very professional email from Kevin, who's sitting all 5 feet away from me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to attest this because people can't see where Kevin's at.
I'm going
to
go 8 feet, but okay.
Very professional email about how he wants to do a little editing and spice up the Split and Bets yelling.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, go for it, man. Totally.
I love that we have time to do that, but like, we're like, can we do a splice of all the times that I said this? No, we'll do a split and bets.
Split and bets. Kevin's trying to do everything he can, man. He's trying to do everything he can.
Appreciate it, as always. Do we have a sexy intro for this next segment?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Well, Wes is more, ladies and gentlemen, with Wes Reynolds, the glue that holds this whole operation together. Co-host of VSiN Tonight, which airs Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, right here at VSiN. You can follow Wes at WesReynolds1. That's the number one at the end. Wes, do you like that I call you the glue that holds this whole operation together? I mean it as a compliment for all of your vast knowledge.
Well, I appreciate it, Gil, and I will take it as such.
Okay. Wes is more rapid-fire questions that Wes Reynolds tries to answer as best as he can because he knows everything about everything. All right. Both the Celtics and the Dallas Stars will shock the world and come back from 3-0 deficits in their respective best-of-7 conference final series. Yes or no?
I'm going to say no here, Gil. I think the Golden Knights, and this isn't just being a homer because I live here now, they've been the better team. I think now, you know, credit to Dallas. They were able to stave off elimination. And then Saturday, I just thought Jason Robertson, he's played terrific the last two games for Dallas. I think the goaltending, the young kid, Aiden Hill for the Golden Knights, he's really held up because if you look going into the season, he was kind of the fourth goaltender essentially on this team because they did bring Jonathan Quick in, the former Kings Cup, Stanley Cup winning goaltender, in for insurance, but he's done very well. But I didn't bet it yet, but I do think the Golden Knights are probably going to finish off the series tonight.
Wes is more. This one comes from behind the glass, Wes. I'm not mentioning any names. What's the difference between an F1 car and an Indy car?
F1, Indy car is more open wheel. F1, it's just the technology. I can't like give you the complete definition for it, but it's more of an open wheel car in the IndyCar. F1, a little bit more constrained with like the DRS system. So there are different little nuances. Obviously, the F1 cars, they do not race on ovals, and IndyCar does a few times a year.
So not a dumb question. That's what I picked up from
that. Clear it up for you, Kelly?
No, not at all. Except for the oval racing. I got that now.
All right, Wes, to golf. Scottie Scheffler majors in 2023. The total I'm setting is a half a major. And majors in 2023 and 2024, the total I'm setting is 1.5. What are you doing over under on each of those?
We've only got two left for 2023, so that means he's got to win one to obviously clear that total. I'd be more want to, because you have at least more of a buffer, I'd be more want to go to like 2024 over 1.5.
Yep, sounds right. I would agree with that.
Pass on the first one, over on the second one. I'm with you.
Back to hockey and basketball. The Florida Panthers and Denver Nuggets will win the Stanley Cup and NBA Finals, respectively.
False. I think it's going to be Denver and the Vegas Golden Knights.
Wow. Okay. Top Gun Maverick was one of the cheesiest, most overrated films you've ever seen in your life.
I actually have not seen the film yet.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Sport that you bet, the people want to know, sport that you bet in volume that most people wouldn't know that you bet in volume.
Oh. Because I think they pretty much know that I do. In volume, I would probably say NBA from like a player prop standpoint.
Oh, do you have a player prop for tonight by any chance?
A couple that I like. I do like Derek White. I'm gonna go against who I guess has been the Mark Bellhorn of this series. Of course, Mark Bellhorn hit the home run in Game 6 when the Red Sox came back from 3 down against the Yankees in the ALCS. So Derek White under his points tonight. And I'm also leaning Jimmy Butler under assist just simply because it's game seven. Jimmy Butler isn't giving up the ball. They need him to be the high volume guy tonight. Only had one assist, by the way, in this game seven last year. So I think it was like at about 6.5. It might be down to 5.5 now. I still like the under.
To baseball, Wes is more. The Tampa Bay Rays will not, repeat, will not end up with the most wins this Major League Baseball season. Yes or no?
Okay, they've got 39 now. I'm going to say no.
Who will?
Might be the Los Angeles Dodgers, because look, they're 32 and 22 right now, and their pitching has not been great. Their lineup has been, I think, a lot better than people thought. We knew at the top with Mookie and with Freddie Freeman and those guys, Max Muncy hitting home runs, had a rough year last year, but it's the guys at the bottom of the lineup that I think have really done well for this team. So if they could just get that pitching healthy, you know, probably you got to look out for these guys.
Randall Grichuk is hitting .362, but in fewer than 80 at bats, he ends up winning the batting title. True or false?
I'm going to say false.
Okay, I thought you would. The Giants, if the playoffs were to begin today, would be in playoff position. The San Francisco Giants. Do they ultimately make the postseason riding Giants magic?
I don't think so. I think that their pitching is very good, and you look with Webb and with Cobb, but I wonder if this resurgence at the plate is due to last, because I think that was the concern for the Giants this season. Is are they going to be able to produce enough runs? And look, credit to them, because they started off rough and now they're one game over 500.
The film Air, overrated or not?
Yet to see it. Yet, but I want to, but because I know Chris Andrews is like, I thought the film was great. Of course, you know, it's about Sonny Vaccaro, and all these guys have a relationship with Sonny over the years. So I have not seen it yet, but I have heard good things from people that have.
By the way, first scene again, someone reminded us of this on Twitter. First scene, they're doing player, he's making player prop bets in the 80s.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yep.
If only they had somebody who could consult them on betting on this, that might be related to one of the major players in this movie. The Oakland Athletics, Wes, we've talked about this for more than a month now. They're 10-45. 10-45. Their adjusted season win total is now down to the mid-40s. Is there any possible way that this team could even, let's just say 40, could win 40 games, could win 30 more the rest of the way?
You know, we had this discussion last year. I know it was up and down the network about my team, the Cincinnati Reds, when they started out 2-20. And it's like, okay, these guys aren't going to win 40 or 50 games. They ended up, I think, winning 60 in the final. But I don't know if I could say the same thing for the A's, Gil. I think that this is a different zone that we are heading into with the team this poor. So, gosh, I wouldn't want to bet the over on that.
Elly De La Cruz, speaking of your Cincinnati Reds, many of us have Rookie of the Year bets on him. Do you?
I do not.
Will you?
I may. the awards market is something, it is so hard to follow. And that's what I'm trying to do as a better. We're always looking to get better at certain things. And sometimes I let this awards market go. And that's something now that you got to pretty much check every single day, because we get into the process of like betting games every day. So it's like, oh, I've got to handicap the card. And then you don't take the time necessarily to look at the awards market. So that's something I'm trying to do better as we go along.
All right, super turbo Wes is more. The Las Vegas Aces win the WNBA title.
Them or the Liberty. But that being said, I don't want to bet it at like -$2 that's going to be the final, because there could be a team like the Mystics that could trip up the Liberty. But yeah, I think the Aces are the clear favorite.
All right. And total number of moths that you've tried to murder during this moth infestation here in Vegas?
5.
5. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it. Wes Reynolds, everybody.
Thanks,
Wes Reynolds 1 on Twitter. Co-host of VSiN Tonight. Weekdays, 9 p.m. Eastern. We've done all we can do. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.